Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, certified transformational health and wellness coach, nurse, fitness trainer, educator, speaker, and best-selling author. Today we have the pleasure to have a guest speaker with us who's going to be talking about our aging brain. And I want to tell you a little bit about our guest. Her name is Patricia Faust, and she is actually a gerontologist specializing in the issues of brain aging, brain health, brain function, and dementia. She has a master's in gerontological studies degree from Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. Patricia is certified as a brain health coach and received a certification in neuroscience and wellness through Dr. Sarah McKay and the Neuroscience Academy. My Boomer Brain, founded in 2015, is actually the vehicle that Patricia utilizes to teach, coach, and consult about brain aging, brain health, and brain function. Her newsletter, My Boomer Brain, has international readers from South Africa, Australia, throughout Europe and Canada. Pretty darn impressive. Patricia's speaking experience spans the spectrum of audiences as she addresses corporate executives on brain function, regional financial professionals on client diminished capacity, and various senior venues concerning issues around brain aging and brain health. So that's just part of what this wonderful lady is all about. So I just want to welcome Patricia. Thank you so much for coming to our to my show here and helping me out, providing some value to our listeners. How are you this morning, Patricia?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love to have people on who love to contribute, you know, and make things easier on the listeners and give them some value and great information. And we all know that our brain is amazing in construction, in what it does and whatnot. So I don't want to take anything away, except I want to just hone into the questions and let you share with us. Is that all right with you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So how do you actually define an aging brain?
Well, our brain starts aging from the minute that we're born, and it continues to grow huge number of new brain cells and connections while we're young, and that explosion of growth makes our brain mass increase to a size that of an adult-sized brain, and we are like sponges while we're going through that exponential growth. But around age 25, our brain stops growing at such a rate, and that is our peak of cognitive abilities. So at age 25, we start to now go in the decline of cognition, and our brain is now starting to use up the extra cells that we made and not make as many through our lifestyle as when we were really young. So aging brain can be more about, you know, just losing cells and connections and starting to notice some lapses in function. And it all happens. Everybody's brain ages, so it all happens without us seeing it. And that's why we don't usually recognize that our brain is actually aging too. So there is one thing about our brain, though. Our brain doesn't know how old we are. So it ages by the lifestyle that we live. And ages on how we treat our brain and ourselves.
Wow, that's interesting. I was just thinking when you were saying all these wonderful things, I have learned more since I came to the U.S. in the last 40 years than in the first over 25 years back home. Though I have to admit, it's been taking a little bit longer to solidify the information in my brain and keep it there. But it has been happening. So how does that work when you keep it busy and working? Does it stay young longer, or how does that work?
Right, right. So because our brain doesn't know how old we are, when I give out ages, say that your cognitive peak is age 25 and that age 40 you're starting to notice some of the memory slips in the tip of the tongue, because those parts of your brain are, you've lost cells and connections there. But it doesn't happen chronologically like that for most people. It all depends on the type of life that you live. If you really challenge your brain, I went back to grad school when I was 50 years old, and all my classmates were 25. So they were at their cognitive peak, and I was at my first acceleration point of cognitive decline. So my brain was like really overwhelmed initially, because I wasn't able to keep up. But after about 2 weeks, our brain is so miraculous that I was able to be on the same type of learning curve as my young classmates. So my brain just, you know, you do things differently with an aging brain. You learn differently. You make decisions differently. There's all different kinds of things that you do differently, but it still can still function at a very high level.
Oh, I so agree with that. I got my master's when I was in my 40s, and most of the kids in the class, they were in their early 20s. There were some of us 40, you know, late 30s, early to mid 40s or so. And it was funny that when we had homework to do, us older folks got together and the young ones got together, there was almost never any mixture. It was usually just, oh my God, they're too old for us. We don't want to deal with them. Though we got better grades than they did because we could put some experience, life experience, into the learning aspect.
Right. Exactly. Our intelligence changes as we get older. So as we're gaining age, we use fluid intelligence as our ability to make decisions, like think on our feet. We just use the information that's right in front of us, and we can make a decision based on that. But as we get older, our brain slows down. We don't think as fast as we used to. So that's called speed of processing. So our speed of processing slows down, and we don't take in information and think through information fast enough to keep up with the way that we used to do it. So fluid intelligence depends on good speed of processing in order to be able to make those think on your feet decisions immediately. But what we benefit from with an older brain is crystallized intelligence, and that is based on our background, our education, our culture, our work career. All of that adds up to our wisdom. Our experience then is starting to play the main role in our intelligence as we get older. And that increases as we get older. So that's sort of our ace in the hole there.
Wow, interesting. You know, it's never been presented to me in such a clear way. And I'm sure that most of the listeners probably know even less than I do. And I don't know everything. I mean, I'm still learning every day something new. And this is just amazing. So we have some points, 25, then 40, then 50. And I'm sure it's going to change at 60 again somewhat. But that's all right. We just need to learn to deal with it.
At age 60, our brain works 2 to 3 times slower than a 20-year-old. Our speed of processing has declined that much. And an 80-year-old's brain works 5 to 6 times slower than a 20-year-old. And the way that you can sort of be able to judge speed of processing is if you were able to, I'll use my school experience again. The professor would ask a question and everybody in the room were shouting out the answers right away, but I was still trying to figure out what the question was. So my brain had slowed down to the point that I couldn't give immediate responses. I had to think about it for a few seconds before I could respond. And as we get older, and if we don't do anything to change that, it takes a little while to be able for our brain to work fast enough. Communication stuff suffers if we're in advanced stages where our brain is moving so slow, we can't think fast enough in order to pick up conversations that are going on. And so if you're in a nursing home, more nursing home than anything else, you'll see older folks who will sit outside of the conversation area because they can't think fast enough to participate in with the conversation. So it's very sad that when that happens, we can turn that around. Brains
we
do
can
things.
What? Okay.
It's about pushing our brains to do things faster. So one of the things that you can do is if you love crossword puzzles. Now, once you know the language of crossword puzzles, then it doesn't really do a whole lot for your brain because you're not challenging it because you know all of the answers. But what you can do then is you can put a timer on yourself to get that crossword puzzle finished in 5 minutes. And once you accomplish that, you can cut the time again. So anything that requires you to give an answer in a certain amount of time is going to start really pushing speed of processing to move faster. So we can start to turn that around. And there's other things our lifestyle can help with speed of processing too. But it really makes big difference in our quality of life when we don't think as fast. So it's, and we can't make decisions as fast as we used to. So it's and if you're a salesperson, or I work with financial professionals, and you're giving an older person a lot of information, a lot of technical information, you cannot even expect them to be able to absorb it the first time around because it's too much for their brain to process. So you have to break it down and maybe visually have some things that you can show them how whatever you're talking about works so they can use your visual processing as well as their auditory processing. And hopefully the light bulb will go on and they'll know what you're talking about.
So true. We've noticed that with my father-in-law, when we took him in for the end of his life, the doctors said, you know, he's not going to live much longer in a convalescent home because he wasn't happy there, and they just gave him sleeping pills and stuff, and he was in his mid to later 80s when he came to us as an amputee, diabetic, Alzheimer's and dementia. And he could not even say a sentence because he was constantly subdued with those pills till we took him off with doctor's approval very slowly and started playing games with him. I mean, had to think or ask him questions and get him involved and give him time to think and not constantly interrupt him. And towards the, till about a month or two before he finally passed, then at 92 and 8 months, he started picking up speed and responding again and being funny. And he realized that when he didn't know the answer real quick, he didn't want to make a fool out of himself. So he just goes, I have to analyze this. And I thought that was so funny. And then he came back with something really cute or sometimes even worthwhile.
Great.
And I go, wow. So we got to learn quite a bit. So, yes, his brain did significantly slow down in his late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
But
right.
By having daily interaction and keeping him mentally challenged, it allowed him to still do some thinking for himself, which was awesome. Wow. Cool.
There was a commercial on TV a few years ago. It was for a Honda car, a small car. They were targeting like young people. And there were two young women in the front seat, and they were somewhat rapping but talking so fast, I never understood what they said in the car commercial. I mean, I watched it 3 or 4 times. Now, I'm thinking that young people – brains are moving, you know, functioning at a much higher level than mine, and they would be able to pick up the talk between the two women. But it's like, wow, I, you know, sometimes you just don't even realize that you can't pick up information going by you that fast anymore. And when something's aging and you can't see it aging, those are your like signs like, wow, things have changed. So when something like that comes about, so you just sort of have to be alert to some of the things that, you know, how about like forgetting, like when you went out to the kitchen to get something and you get out there and you don't remember what it is, and, you know, forgetting things at the groceries that you needed at the grocery store. And those are all normal aging changes, but it can really make a difference in your life. So when you're aware that you're starting to sustain these losses, then it's a good time to, you know, call someone like me, or, you know, and I'm sure that you probably can delve into this too a bit, about what you can do, about what you can do about changing these declines. And that's part of what I do when I coach and teach. So it's, you know, it's like giving them some reasons, which, so that looks like it might be our next question. What are the reasons behind the decline in our brain function? Well, so up to age 25, we're just growing all these cells and all these connections. The cells are called neurons, and the connections are called synaptic connections. And our brain is electric. So we take in electric signals from our environment, and this is how memory's made. Memory's actually electric too. So we take in electric signals, and it travels from one cell to the other. Now, none of our brain cells touch each other. They all have a little gap in between them, and that's called the synaptic gap. And in that gap, there's chemicals called neurotransmitters. Now, the neurotransmitters sort of push that electrical charge across the gap to the next cell, so that, and that's how communication happens. Now, if you're learning something new and you're starting to fire up those cells in the same pathway continuously, all of a sudden they'll merge together for a new pathway, and you've changed your brain. You've actually created a new neural pathway in your brain, and that's the beauty of a term called neuroplasticity, where you're growing more of these neural pathways, you're making the brain mass start to increase again. So when we get older, though, if we're not doing things to make those neurons fire together, we start to lose those synaptic gaps and the connections and the neurons, because the brain is really good at pruning out what we don't use. It is by far the best organ for use it or lose it. And so we start losing brain mass. Now, the problem where we lose the brain mass is in our prefrontal cortex, which is right behind our forehead. And it does, it's the executive function center of the brain. It does all the decision making and planning, and it actually is the first step where memory comes in. And so it sort of directs everything. And the other part that starts to take a hit is called the hippocampus. Now, the hippocampus, there's actually two, one on each side, right behind your ear. So deep brain, though, the work that the hippocampus does is we're not aware of. But the hippocampus is the center of learning and memory. And it takes big hits as we get older. In fact, these are the two organs that, two parts of the brain that actually take huge hits with Alzheimer's disease. So when these two parts of the brain are losing cells and eventually cell mass, because the connections are being destroyed too, they shrink. Our brain actually shrinks as we get older if we don't do something to change that. And these two are so critical to thinking, learning, and remembering. This is where we start to feel all those, you know, tip of the tongue or, you know, memory slips. It's because those parts of the brain that actually function so well are now, you know, they're compromised. They don't have as many cells and connections or neurochemicals that as they used to. So that it's one of the big things about the decline of our brains as we get older is this loss of brain mass. By the time we're 40, we're starting 30s, we don't notice any of these changes because we've got a lot of cells and connections built up. It's called brain reserve, cognitive reserve. And that's left over from when we were young and we're just growing our brain. So we're, as we get older through our 30s, then if we're sort of being tough on our brain, a lot of stress or the environment's toxic, or we're actually losing cells and connections, but we don't feel it because we had so many extra to lose. But when you're about 40, all of a sudden, you know, it's the cognitive reserve is getting a little bit low. So now when you're losing cells and connections in prefrontal cortex and hippocampus, we're having these little memory slips, and we're having this tip of the tongue. So we definitely recognize that our brain just isn't the way it used to be. Our brain's not as sharp as it was when we were younger. So after about age 40, we lose 5% of brain mass every 10 years. So by the time we're 80, we have lost 20% of our brain mass if we don't do something about it. So our aging brain can actually really impact our older years, because we can't do this. Our quality of life declines because we can't do all the things that we used to do when our brain was functioning higher. And then there's a couple more things that decline as we get older. Our brain is, I mentioned that we have a lot of neurotransmitters, neurochemicals that help the signals cross the gap. Well, those are really important in making communication in our brain happen, because they're the ones that are actually, you know, sort of greasing the wheel for the signal to jump from one cell to the other. But as we get older, we don't produce as many and as much of these neurochemicals as we used to. So I like to use acetylcholine as an example, because a lot of people are familiar with that one. It's a communication neurotransmitter. And when you have Alzheimer's disease, you're not producing acetylcholine anymore. And so your brain loses its ability to communicate to each other, to the cells. And so as we get older, we're starting to lose, you know, the production goes down. So acetylcholine's communication, dopamine is muscle movement and reward. Norepinephrine is involved in speed. And so all of these things are really critical for a high-functioning brain. But as we get older and those neurochemicals start to decrease, our brain isn't functioning the way that it used to. So there are exercises that we can do to, you know, get them to speed up and get them to be able to function the way they used to. Then there's one other big thing that really affects the decline of our brain, and that's we call it neuromodulatory function, which means the outside function of our hearing and our vision. So they are our hearing and vision are our primary entry points for the start of memory. And so it's believed now in science circles that hearing loss is a product of aging. They always used to just say it was loud noises, or they would give you all different kinds of, and they do. Loud noises does really make a difference as far as you can hear. It does destroy hair cells. Well, that's what aging does too. It destroys hair cells, which actually are in the ear, and they push the vibration into the eardrum so it can be processed for hearing. And as we get older, those deteriorate. Once hair cells deteriorate, they can't be reproduced. So they don't come back. And so you are it's the big deal among boomers now is how many of them can't hear. And untreated hearing loss puts you at a very high risk for developing dementia. So why is that? Your brain slows down to the point that to try to figure out what you're actually hearing, that it loses more speed of processing, and it's called cognitive load. It really can't handle doing that anymore. So when it really starts gearing down that much, then you're in trouble. And so you're really causing some more aging problems in your brain. And the same thing with vision. If you, you have other diseases that happen when you're older, for the most part, like macular degeneration and cataracts and even glaucoma. And so if you don't get those treated, then you can't get the signals into your brain to make memory. So it really slows the brain down and sort of messes everything up. If you go, you need to get hearing aids if you have hearing loss. You need to get your glasses or whatever corrective surgeries you need for your eyesight. And then you really cut your risk of dementia. But if you don't get your, if you don't treat these things, then you really run into problems. Part of the memory process is the strength of the signals that come in. So you're hearing something and you don't hear very well. And maybe somebody tells you to pick them up at 8:15. And they're not standing in front of you so that you can see them say 8:15. And when you get off the phone, you think, did they say 8:15 or 8:50? Which is a big difference if somebody's waiting for you to pick them up. So that's one of the big problems with hearing loss, is that the signals are too fuzzy and the brain will not accept them. A lot of those signals, when they come in, are diverted to the hippocampus. It's part of the memory process. So short-term memory takes that signal and moves them to the hippocampus. The hippocampus takes a look at the signals during the night. And if it's a fuzzy signal, it's going to say, nope, you're not going to be a memory because the signal's not strong enough. And a lot of people get so upset because they forget so much. But the problem is that they might not have ever made the memory in the first place because their hearing isn't working right. So it really gunks up a lot of processes when you can't hear, and it's a bit of an epidemic now with the boomers. So you'll see, you continue to see more and more and more about getting hearing aids, and they, and in the commercials now, they just state flat out, you put yourself at a high risk of getting dementia. So those are the things that really show big declines in brain function. So the anatomy and physiology of it, the inability to make memories because of fuzzy signals, and between the hearing loss and then also the neurochemicals are not produced at the rate that you need to be. So it's a big deal.
Yes, it is. That was really amazing because now you just gave me clarity that nobody has given me. It was just, I think, 2 years ago that when I was driving on the road, my uncle was a driver's instructor, so I knew how to drive because he was really tough on me. But I looked in the mirrors, I put out my blinkers, and I wanted to change lanes. And just as I want to change, there is a car next to me, and they're honking at me. And I go, what the heck? Where did they come from? And then I got my eyes checked, and they said, oh, you have cataract in both eyes. Mm-hmm. I go, okay, first of all, wow. I didn't hear that car coming, and I didn't see it coming. And I never hit anybody. I was blessed, okay? But it was just that stuff. And then I had cataract surgery in both eyes. Now my vision for distance is 20/20. It did change my vision close up. I have now glasses to read a book and glasses for the computer or the piano. Different prescription, it has changed. But it has helped me to hear better because I have been borderline hearing impaired for quite a few years with my extremely narrow ear canals and my ears not vibrating anymore as they're supposed to. So it doesn't really push the information to the eardrums where it was supposed to get processed. And I go, I see how all these three things get together. And another one that I noticed when I was younger, it was before I had my daughter. So it was more like 36 years ago when I was tutoring, and I had youngsters like 5-6 year olds who wanted to learn a foreign language, and they were like sponges. They learned the language without an accent. I mean, when I taught them French and German, they spoke it so beautifully. And when I had older people in their 30s and 40s, they had serious accents and could not really make the difference. And I go, wow, this is so cool. Now I know the three actually totally go together.
Yeah, absolutely.
I go, wow.
So we were talking about all these declines, and I tell everybody we can reverse these declines. So that's part of the thing about understanding what's going on. There's things that you can do about it to start to reverse these aging changes and get some of this high-functioning brain back. So the one thing, when we can grow new brain cells, and this was a newer finding. It's only about 25 years old since they discovered that our brain can grow new cells in our prefrontal cortex, center of learning or executive function center of the brain behind our forehead, and the hippocampus, our center of learning and memory, the two that are hit really hard by cell loss. We actually have the ability to grow new cells in those areas, and that's called neurogenesis. Now, we're not going to grow cells and connections as fast as we did when we were young, because now we have to, they just don't grow by themselves. Now we have to really take action on making them grow. So neurogenesis is one part. And we're going to talk about this, I think, on another call about how this all comes together with lifestyle, if I'm not mistaken. But neurogenesis is the big deal for growing new brain cells and being able to increase our brain mass. Then the other big term that is really popular, and it's a newer finding also, is called neuroplasticity. So our brain is very malleable and very flexible, and it changes all the time, and it can change all the way until the day we die. The old belief was that our brain was fixed. After we hit our cognitive peak, our brain was fixed, and there wasn't anything that we can do. And they found out later it's extremely dynamic, and there's lots that we can do. So when I described before about how a signal's going through two cells and, you know, they form a neural pathway, well, that actually is neuroplasticity. And it is, you're changing your brain. You are actually changing your brain. And it's just amazing that our brain can do that. So neurogenesis and neuroplasticity help us gain more brain mass back. So if we're growing cells in those areas that were giving us the memory slips and the tip of the tongue, then we should be able to start to, you know, cut back on that. We should be able to think a little faster and be able to work a little bit better. Now, the thing about neuroplasticity is that it's constantly adapting to our environment, good or bad. So if it's good, then you're making more connections and your brain's starting to thrive. If it's bad, if it's a toxic environment, it's actually you're losing those connections and your brain is going to be producing the wrong neurochemicals and you'll be depressed and you've just pushed everything the opposite way. The problem is that our brain skews that way. Our brain skews towards the negative rather than the positive. We have to work to get the positive, but the negative just happens. And so we have to work so that we don't have negative experiences, and we have to work to change everything into positive experiences so our brain can thrive again. So it's a commitment when you want to get a young, high-functioning brain back. It can do it, but you have to work at it to get it to actually accomplish anything, because we're working out of a hole. You know, we're not young. We don't have any brain reserve left. So now we're working out of that hole and trying to accumulate more brain reserve and to build up more brain mass. So it is quite amazing on what our brain can do.
Yeah, my husband said to me just recently, he goes, I can't believe how fast you are still at mental mass. Because he gives me something that happened at work, and I just spit out the answer. He goes, how in the world did you do that? You didn't even have a calculator. I go, calculator? I learned math the long way, longhand. We were not allowed to use calculator till we were in fourth or fifth grade, and then only for specific things. Nowadays, people do everything with technology, and they can't do anything with their brain. So that helped already. And by me reading a lot now every day, I start my morning around 6 a.m., and I read for about an hour something that has to do with self-development that's intriguing, interesting, and that helps me actually have a better day. And I go, wow, this is awesome. So, yes, working together makes a big difference.
Oh, absolutely. You can change your brain. And it's defined now. It's been proven. So you can change your brain, and it's just learning how to do that and then being consistent with it to do it. I mean, your reading is so fantastic for your brain, and getting up and moving and, challenging your brain, moving, eating right, being with other people is really important. Getting good sleep. A lot of stuff happens when we sleep. And then, reducing stress. And that's one of the hard ones for us to do, I think. For me, it is. Reducing our stress levels that we live through now. So we have hard wiring coming down from our prehistoric ancestors, and the stress response is one of them. And so our brain is always looking around the environment to protect us. And if it senses anything, it could be real or imaginary. If it senses any type of threat, it goes right into the stress response, and the fight or flight kicks into gear. But you don't even know it yet. Your brain is the one that's doing all of this.
Right.
So it's an amazing. It's just so amazing how it works. So it's really, really cool. I think one other thing I wanted to talk about are chronic diseases and their effect on our brain, because the boomers aren't going into their senior years in really great shape as far as chronic diseases are concerned. Many of us, I'm a leading edge boomer, and many of us have heart problems or diabetes or arthritis or, obesity. All of these things have a major impact on your brain. And every one of them puts you at a higher risk for getting dementia. So as long as you really, chronic diseases aren't going to go away. So what do? So you have to take care of yourself. And I think that's probably where you give the best advice ever, is learning how to take care of yourself. And when you do that and you keep your chronic diseases under control, then your brain will be okay. So you don't have to worry about, oh, my God, I've got this and this and this. I'm doomed, because you're not doomed. Dementia is 70% lifestyle. So if you live a good lifestyle, then you're going to knock out the biggest percentage of risk that, your brain, that you inflict on your brain. So the other 30% is both environment and genetics. But they don't play the big role. They don't play the big role that lifestyle does. So it's
so true.
It's really important that you take care of yourself, that, you get up and move. And the other big thing they're discovering right now is that Alzheimer's disease might not be due to all the plaques that they think that originated. They thought that was what the cause was. Now they believe it's inflammation. And so that's the big research focus right now, is inflammation. So, you have to take care of yourself to be able to, to take care of your brain. You have to take care of yourself to take care of your brain. So,
yeah, absolutely. I noticed with me, actually, 3 years ago, I was 180 pounds on a frame of 5'1". That made me morbidly obese because my BMI was about 35, 36, way bad. And it all happened because I started doing emotional eating while taking care of my father-in-law, because everything was for him, about him, around him. And I just felt like I was the third wheel on the wagon, and my health declined. And I started getting depressed, and my arthritis started kicking in to the point that after he was gone, I could not even walk up and down the stairs. So
wow.
I chose to make a change in my life. And I am eating very healthy. I dropped 50-some pounds. I'm in a size 4, happy and healthy now. And it is not just the arthritis that I don't feel anymore. I can play the piano again without any problems, which I couldn't. I walk the stairs. I don't use the chair. I eat healthy 6 times a day, small meals. I drink a lot of water. And I have motion every day. I mean, normally, yeah. even on phone calls, I walk around on the floor where I'm at or up and down the stairs just so I can actually keep my synapses from, you know, firing correctly and not put them into
right.
a dormant state.
Well,
so yeah,
and
you
that's
hit
what
the
it
nail
takes.
Right on the head. Yeah.
Yeah. Denise, that's what it takes. That's what it takes to be able to maintain. You want to have the youngest, sharpest brain possible all the way till the day you die. I mean, if it doesn't
Absolutely.
Know how old you are, there's no reason. If you do all the right things, there's no reason that it's not going to function really, you know, in an excellent manner for you. It's just, but it comes back down to you doing it. You know, it's like people love what I say, and I feel like it gives them hope. But making that commitment can be that's a hard step because you are changing your life, as you said. And so,
right.
it's you have to, you know, you have to sort of make that decision. Which way do you want to go with it? So, I mean, I think you're the perfect example. So,
yeah,
on how beneficial it is.
Right. That's why I say I love to coach, be a transformational health and wellness coach, helping people improve their health because I've been there, I've done it, and I'm doing it every day. And so I can understand much better what people go through because I've been there. And with all my previous experiences and stuff, it really makes a big difference. And now learning how vision, hearing, and brain function actually literally go together. They support one another in one way or another. And we're making the most out of it. That is so totally amazing. I am just, I'm a 7-7 right now.
Well, our brains
yeah.
are quite miraculous. They are quite miraculous. They, and we're just learning. I mean, it's all of the stuff that I talk about has been within the last 25 years. And
wow.
since they did the brain mapping, Obama gave money to have the brain mapped. And since they put money into that, into brain research, it's just the discoveries that they're coming up with now are just incredible, which is great. It's great. You know, I foresee huge leaps of brain function occurring once we know how to do it. So I think that, but going back to the basics of our aging brains, just this information is really valuable in knowing that you have more power than you ever thought you might have had. You have the control.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think
yes.
that's an important step too.
Absolutely. Well, we covered quite a bit of information, and I just wanted to see, do you have anything you want to offer the listeners for, or if they have questions, how do you want them to contact you?
Well, they can give me a call. My phone number is area code 513-382-3947. And leave a message if I don't pick up because sometimes I'm just not available. But we'll schedule a call. I want to offer a 45-minute coaching call, but it's really going to be centered around memory and learning some memory tools and strategies. I think memory is one of the things that people worry about the most. So it'll be all about taking care of your memory and honing your memory. So that's what the free gift is. So
that is so amazing. Thank you so much. And
well, you're more than welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Do you have a website you want to go on?
Yes, it's myboomerbrain.com. So myboomerbrain.com.
Right. I have it written in the transcript. So if you guys want to look at it and just get it out of there, you can do that. I just wanted to make sure you heard it from the pro.
If people are uncomfortable making a phone call, I do have an email that they can send me their questions or request the coaching session. That is Patricia, Patricia, at myboomerbrain.com.
Perfect.
So if they go to the website, they'll see my email, and so they can get me, you know, it doesn't matter when they do that. I'll be able to see it then.
All right. Well, listeners, so you have it all about the aging brain and what we can or cannot do and how it works with Patricia Faust and her free gift. Please take her up on it. And I have one also, a free gift, which is a 30-minute explore call about healthy body, healthy mind, and healthy finances. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can go email me at dythomson@gmail.com or voicemail or text me at 562-335-4956. Remember, I do not answer phone calls unless it's a scheduled call and I know who's calling. But I will return every text and voicemail within 24 to 48 hours if you leave me your information and I can get back to you. So for today, I'm going to say until next week with Petra Boehmer from the Mindful Eating Institute. Stay happy, healthy, and empowered. And we'll get back with you next week again. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to hang up and call you right back, okay?
Okay.